Good Yor, good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. We've come to Parshas Vayelech. I hope everybody had a meaningful Rosh Hashanah. And now we move on to Shabbat Shuvah, a very interesting one, and which brings to mind, not brings to mind, but the fact is we're up to now Vayelech and the last two mitzvahs in the Torah, which are very relevant. And what it says is 612 is Hakel, and the last one is for each person to write his own Sefer Torah. And what we're dealing with over here is the mitzvah of Hakel, when it says that Moshe told Klal Yisrael, as opposed to what we said last week in Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, and that Moshe gathered everybody literally, and everyone, because even the people that, though he said, Kol Yish Yisrael, there are people who are not usually there. When Moshe gave his speeches prior to this, the Zakenim were there, or some people showed up. It wasn't as if everybody came. It wasn't 100% attendance. But Tem Nitzavim was everybody was there, literally everyone. And now it was just, he said, that because of that happens, so that every 7 years on, there's a machlokas here. Rashi says, that is at the end of 7 years, when it mikay sheva shanim, that is the end of the seventh year. Now, Barbanel makes a point in saying, obviously, he says it's at the beginning of the seventh year. It's the end of Yontif, at the end of Sukkot in the Shemitah year. If it would be Sukkot at the end of the seventh year, it would be in the eighth year already. And Barashi notifies, realizes that, but nevertheless, he says, it is obviously a difference of opinion, and it sort of makes a little bit more sense for the Abarbanel, because the fact is that after all the crops are in at the end of the sixth year, you have a whole year ahead of you so that you don't have to rush back to get to your to planting season after Sukkot, and you could have a little more time for everybody to make the journey into Yerushalayim to hear the king read the Sefer Torah. More than that, is that not to think that only every 7 years, but they didn't read the whole Torah, but in the seventh year they read Sefer Devarim. Why particularly Sefer Devarim? Because it says Rov Gufei Mitzvot are in Sefer Devarim. In other words, so many of the mitzvot are in Devarim, and a lot of the mitzvot, while there are certainly many mitzvot beforehand, but they're not pertinent to what they want to hear. But it's only that the king read it every 7 years, and they wanted to make it an event. If the king read every year, it would be a different story. It becomes more a regular event and becomes less special, making fewer people want to come necessarily, because it comes often. It's like, you know, if you have the Olympics, if you had it every year, it would be not so special anymore. But making it every 4 years makes it very different and makes it more special. I say, Lahavdil, of course. But the fact is, you think that's all they did, but every year they did read, either the Kohen Gadol or the Navi read a different part. They divided up Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, and the Bamidbar into six parts, where they read part of Sefer Bereishis and then Shemos each successive year, but not by the king. The king read in the seventh year all of Sefer Devarim. And, of course, why would they choose Sefer Devarim for him? Because it says he has to read the Sefer Torah when he sits on his throne, and he has to hold the Sefer Torah at all times, and he has to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvot, and so he's to read this so that it goes into his own heart to realize that's why he has to be Karavo Kol Yemei Chayav. But which ties into, by the way, the whole mitzvah of Hakel, ties into another very important thing. The mitzvah that comes after that is for everybody to write his own Sefer Torah. And one might add, imagine today if everybody wrote their own Sefer Torah, it is a very difficult thing. It's a very expensive thing if you're going to pay $50,000 or $60,000 to write your own Sefer Torah. But there's another issue at hand over here. Moshe and Yehoshua gave each Shevet their own Sefer Torah. But the fact is, if you wanted to learn Torah, if you wanted to review the Torah in any way, shape, or form, you would need a Sefer Torah. And that would present a major problem, because people did not have, it was before the printing press, and or even people to write that much, they didn't have that kind of paper. and ink and things like that. It's a major expense even then. And people did not have the ability to write a Sefer Torah. It would only be very few. And therefore, the people wouldn't even have a copy of the Sefer Torah. All they would have is their memory of what they would learn, which tells us that one should learn, go to shul and relearn. They didn't have shuls where they would have a library. Imagine how libraries changed the whole situation, and the printing press changed life as we know it, where everybody could have their own chumash, which, not to say negates, but makes it less important for everybody to have their own Sefer Torah. And imagine if each person would have the Sefer Torah, and he would have it, since there was no system of a shul, that concept of everybody going to 100 different shuls in the neighborhood. There was the Beis HaMikdash, maybe there was a gathering place where people came to. You couldn't bring karbonis except in a Beis HaMikdash, but if they had a gathering places to pray for certain things, there was a town square, but you wouldn't necessarily have a Sefer Torah everywhere. And imagine if you had to keep it, if everybody had their own Sefer Torah, where would you keep it? And then you would keep it in your own house. Imagine having a Sefer Torah in your house. And that is another issue at hand, that we would want you to have your own Sefer Torah in the house. And for the express purpose of, imagine the decorum that one would require in his household. One would have to be very careful about anything that he says, any actions that he does in the house. Certainly you wouldn't have these gala parties, a ball. If you had a Sefer Torah in the house, where would you put it? You would need an Ara Kodesh. The people that have a Sefer Torah in the house certainly have to keep a very pristine home in terms of where they keep it and how they act while the Sefer Torah is in their home. It's very sacred, and therefore that would create a problem, which is another reason. So while you would have it available for you to learn with, it would also cause another issue at hand to keep the decorum in the house at bay. Now, another thing, interestingly enough, is why only once in 7 years, as we said. It's not to think that it's only every 7 years we read other portions of the Torah. But the fact is, we see what Moshe is going through in this parsha. He starts to continue his rant, so to speak, of telling Klal Yisrael all the bad things that are going to happen. And suddenly we see in the middle, it's very interesting thought process, and God understands this very well and tells Moshe to stop, basically. Of course, when it says, when we get to Chamishi and Vayelech, it's all suddenly God says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hein karvu yamecho lomos kuros Yoshua. And what is that all about? The reality is, God is telling Moshe, enough already with all the bad news, all the things that you're telling them, all the tragedies that will befall you. That's not the way to deal with the people now. Let me tell you, and God goes on to tell him, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hincho shochei v'mavosecha. You're about to die. You have better things to do than to go on to them. And one should always leave on a good note before one passes away from the world. He should say some good things, and that's why he finishes off with Zos HaBrocha, obviously, in Hazinu, which is more Hazinu, even though that is certainly many bad things, but it's on a different level. He's more speaking to the people, but he's not speaking to the people as it does in the Tzavim, as in the Tzavim when he's speaking to the people. Here it's just Korah es Yoshua, v'hitziat tzvu b'yoel moed v'atzavenu. Moshe is talking explicitly to Yehoshua, not to Klal Yisrael, and maybe some of the Zekanim, and in, when it says to the Kohanim and the Leviim, to give them a Sefer Torah, because they are the teachers, and they are the ones that have to review the Sefer Torah so that they would be capable of answering all the Shilas, because that would fall on the responsibility of the Kohanim and the Leviim, since they don't have to work the field. And then it's obvious, if that's their entire life's work, is sitting and learning Torah, which is very important. And therefore, so you give them. And when God is telling, when Moshe writes Hazinu in next week's, in the following week before Sukkot, and then Zos HaBrocha, he's saying, V'lam do'es b'nei Yisrael tzima b'fihem. When Yehoshua gets around to it, he should teach the B'nai Yisrael, these are things that they should teach them. But basically now, God is telling Moshe, to these things that we're hearing at this point in time, to stop lambasting the B'nai Yisrael. I'll tell you, it's like there's a new teacher in the school, and the principal is giving him a list of all the troublemakers and telling them how to deal with it, what's going to happen. And that's what's happening at this point in time. God is telling Moshe to now just call Yoshua, stop with preaching to B'nai Yisrael now. That time is over. You're about to die, and now it's time for you to be personal with Yoshua and give him his instructions before you leave. And anything more you have to say, speak explicitly and only to Yoshua and maybe a few of the Zekanim, which is a very interesting thought process in terms of what we have over here. And God says, V'anochi haster astir ponai b'yom ahu. God is not telling that to Klal Yisrael. God is telling that to Moshe himself, that I will hide, you shouldn't, that the reason that all this is happening, in other words, I am Haben Yakuli Ephraim, which we read today in the Haftorah. God says they are going to do terrible things, but the fact remains, I will never stop loving them. They are still better than any other nation in the world, and they will all return eventually. But all of these things, the Ansohashiro Azos Lefanov Liyed, that they shouldn't forget, but you have to teach it to them. The Ayik Chalos Moshe Lestovas Divrei HaTorah Azos Al Sefer Ad Tumam, until the end, until it's over. What is Atumam? Until the Sefer Torah is over, what is that now? We realize that Moshe Rabbeinu thought at this point in time, he didn't know that God would include Hazinu and Sosa Brocha in the Torah. He thought at this point in time, because it says that he gave it to the Kohanim, B'nei Levi, Hanosim Es Aron Bris Hashem, he gave it to them, the Torah. And if this is before Hazinu and Sosa Brocha, what happened to that Sefer Torah? They had a Sefer Torah that was missing the last two parshas in the Chumash. Obviously not, unless he took it back and rewrote those. Or if you want to say that they were written down and then it was copied eventually by Yoshua, who also helped in the writing, of course not changing any words or writing any words on his own. Moshe would have had to dictate or write all of these things on his own. But nevertheless, Yoshua would transcribe it the same way he transcribed it from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we get. And all of this is a perfect lead up to next week when we have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is very special, and we say on all day Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur when we say Nisana Tokev, and when we say the prayer, Kivakoras Roa Edro, Mavir Tzono Tacha Shifto, how come we are always compared to sheep? Why are B'nai Israel compared to sheep as opposed to other animals? And the one thing that is very obvious that we know, if we've seen the way sheep operate, there's two things that are special about them. Sheep are very fearful. When they get separated, they run around like Hatzon Asher Ein Lohem Roeh, as God says. Sheep that don't have a master or anybody leading them around, they become very fearful. But when they're in a pack, when they're in a herd, and there are thousands of sheep together, when there's a sheep herder who's, they feel safe when they're all together. And Klal Yisrael is the same thing. When we are unified, when we are all together, there's safety. When we are split up, and that's when, so to speak, we get picked off in various places in the world, there is tzoras and we lose sight of one another. But there's another factor involved with sheep. Sheep is one of the few animals that serves a purpose. If I would want to make leather, I would have to take cowhide or from whatever animal, if I would have to skin it. Certainly you want to get a mink coat and you take it off a mink, you have to kill the mink. It doesn't get to grow back. Sheep is the all-purpose animal because when you need wool, it serves the purpose of having the wool made from his coat that he grows every year, the wool that he grows, and you shave him and you shear the wool, and you get clothing, and the wool continues to live. The sheep also gives milk, and you have that ability to him. And if at some point in time you decide that you want to eat the meat, then you can shech the animal and have it. In other words, it serves so many purposes, the sheep. And that's what God wants from Klal Yisrael in every shape or form. He wants you to be a productive member of society, to provide not just for yourself, but to provide from all your fellow Jews to be a productive member of the community so that you could feed them, sustain yourself, sustain your community, and sustain Klal Yisrael at large. And that is why we are compared to sheep. And so when we pray for when we pray on Yom Kippur next week, same as we do today, it's the culmination of the Aseret HaMetzuvah. We pick one thing in particular. I remember Rav Moshe Feinstein when he made a speech so many years ago, and his Shabbat Shuva drasha was just to take one or two things and focus on that to improve on a yearly basis. And believe me, it adds up to tremendous amount of improvement over a few years. You see, and you begin to feel better about yourself if you daven a little more slowly or give a little more tzedakah or whatever it is to help more people, to be have a better disposition to your fellow man. But certainly anything that you improve on makes you feel better about yourself, and that in itself grows exponentially over the years. And that's what we want you to be, not to be too strict, but not to be, you know, to take your life seriously, that every day counts. Don't give away any days. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Don't leave any days behind and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Once somebody says, not now, and do it tomorrow, and that's certainly on some level the beginning of the end. We have this opportunity in our Aseret HaMetzuvah to improve ourselves to a tremendous level. And the truth of the matter is, though, after that time comes, after Yom Kippur, we are very glad that we've started with a clean slate. But let us keep that slate as clean as possible so that next year when we daven, we have less to be concerned about, and we could focus on our fellow man. Have a good week and have a good fast. Have a productive Yom Kippur and a Tzom Gedalia tomorrow. Have a good week. Thank you.